right, let's turn to the book of Luke. Okay, Luke chapter 23, verse 32 to 42. Let's stand as we're going to be reading. And let's read it together collectively so that we can hear what God has to say. Luke chapter 23, verse 32. Ready? One, two, begin. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. And the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He save others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew. This is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man had done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come humbly, Lord, to you. Lord, as Christians, as believers in Christ, we look back 2,000 years ago, what you have done. Sometimes, Lord, in the busyness of our lives, we forget the reality and the necessity of the cross in our lives. I pray today you will open our eyes once again by the Holy Spirit, that we might see your holiness at sin by the compassion that was poured out, Lord. So, Lord, we pray, if there's one today who have never learned or have never understood fully the gospel, the love of Christ at the cross and what happened that day, Lord, only you can make it real to that person. And so today I pray you open our hearts and our mind, that Lord, we will have a mind and a heart to hear, and also, Lord, a heart to obey you. I pray for every believer. I pray once again you help us to see the cross anew. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Well, today is Good Friday. And I had a relative who asked me one time, what's so good about Friday? What's so good about Friday? Why? The reason why the person asked that is because, what's so good about the day that the founder of your religion died? You know, it's not so much of a good day. If someone actually died, it's not a good day. You know, it's my privilege as a believer in Christ to actually tell you why it is a good day, all right? Why it is a good day, okay? And I hope that you will listen intently. And children, I want you to pay attention because it's just as important to you, all right? Now, if you read the book of the Bible, Luke chapter 23, verse 32, you just refer to it, you will realize there are three crosses on that day. There were three crosses on that day. Luke 23, 32 says, and there were two other malefactors. Malefactors refers to a criminal, someone who has done wrong, okay, which is led with him, Jesus, to be put to death. So there are two malefactors plus one Jesus. How many crosses are there, children? 2 + 1 = 3. Okay, so there were three crosses on that day. The Bible says when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him, and the criminals, the malefactors, one on the right hand, one on the left. And it's interesting for you. Do you know you go to Israel today, there's no such place as Calvary? All right, it was a Latin word transliterated, but today you have the place of the skull. It's called Golgotha. All right, the place that looks like a skull. Then in Luke chapter 23, as we think about this, you know, there were three groups of people. There were three groups of people today. There were some people who were just looking around. You look at verse 35. The Bible says, and the people stood beholding. There are some people who were just standing there and looking, and you know, like Singaporeans were very, very, very capo. You know, they sit around, you know, that when there's an accident. And then all the people say, wah, 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 you know. But they just look around. Then the Bible says, so there were the leaders, and the rulers stood also with them, derided him, saying, So there was a group of people who were looking around. Then there were some leaders who said, if he is the Christ, if he has saved others, let him save himself. If you are the Messiah, if you say you're the Messiah, why don't you just save yourself? So those were the leaders. But it's interesting, the soldiers also did that. The soldiers who crucified Jesus say, if you are the Son of God, so you say, right? If you are the Christ, if you are Christ, if you are the Savior, why don't you just save yourself too? You know, it's interesting, the people stood around, the leaders criticized Jesus, the soldiers criticized Jesus. Guess who else criticized Jesus? Look at the verse. Later on, you'll find that this is another passage, but in Matthew 27, verse 44, the Bible says the thieves also, which were crucified with him, cast the same in their teeth. That simply means, it's interesting, because as you study the passage, you realize as a thief were hanging on the cross, they heard everything that the people say. So the leaders criticized Jesus, the soldiers criticized Jesus, the thieves who were crucified also criticized Jesus. And all three of them, or three groups of people, criticized Jesus. I want us to look firstly at the first cross from Luke chapter 23, okay? If you have the Bible, refer to that because I'll be spending some time there. In Luke, we'll look at the first cross, Luke 23, verse 39. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, the word rail means insulted him, spoke to Jesus in a disrespectful way. That's what it means to rail on him. And this is one of the malefactors. You know, in my mind, I was thinking he must be the person on the left. Because usually the left are the people who do the wrong thing, right? But actually, the Bible never says whether he's left or right. So I'm not going to say something the Bible never said, okay? So children in a Bible study, don't ever say, oh, the criminal that criticized Jesus must be on the left. No, the Bible never say that. But one of the criminals said, if thou be Christ, save thyself and save us. Save thyself and save us. Basically, he's just repeating what the other people say. Now, the criminal was dying the same death. He was dying the same death. What death was he dying then? What death was Jesus, the thieves dying? On the cross. He was being crucified. I want to tell you three things about this thief. Number one, this criminal was a dying man. This criminal was a dying man. Brother Johnny, I think we all know that from the Bible. This criminal was a dying man. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, 22, as in Adam, all die. As in Adam, all die. Because we are born into this world, none of us here can ever say that you will survive forever and won't die. Okay? Now, this criminal was a dying man, but death also knows no status. Okay? That's the second thing. We'll all die, but death knows no status. The important thing is here, the criminal may be dying, but you know, one day all of us will die too. All of us will die too. If you have your Bible, Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 16. Let me read. You listen to what the scripture says, okay? There is no remembrance of the wise more than that of the fool forever. Those who are very smart and those who are not so smart, after a while, the memory of these people will vanish away. Seeing that which now is in the days to come shall all be forgotten. And Solomon says, and how dieth the wise man? How does the wise man die? How many of you know Stephen Hawking? Yeah, Stephen Hawking? Stephen Hawking is probably one of the very brilliant scientists of modern days. All right, he does have a very serious nerve problem that keeps him in a wheelchair. But you know, he did say that because of his illness, he had a lot of time to think about a lot of scientific facts. Stephen Hawking doesn't believe in God. You know, how many of you can claim that you're smarter than Stephen Hawking? I don't think we will ever do that. But you know what? One day, you and I are going to die. Stephen Hawking has already passed away. The Bible says, how dieth the wise man? As a fool. There is no difference. Death is no respecter of persons. The criminal was the malefactor was a dying man, number one. But the question must be, why was he dying on the cross? Okay, Jonathan, why was this criminal dying on the cross? Okay, anyone can help him, okay? Why was this criminal dying on the cross? Why was he dying on the cross? Because, why was he dying on the cross? Because Because of? What did he do? Because of his crime. No one gets the privilege of dying on a cross unless you have a crime. Okay, not that it's a privilege. This man was dying, he was sentenced to die because he committed a very serious crime. All right? Point number two of this man was dying because of his sin. He committed the crime of armed robbery. And in armed robbery, you don't only rob, you actually have the intention to kill in order to get the things you want. Now, that is a very serious crime in the days of the Roman Empire. And they will crucify you. The crucifixion was invented by the Romans and is regarded as the most cruel execution practice in the history of man, the most cruel one, okay? And so, he was dying because of the sin that he has committed. In Romans chapter 6, verse 23, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. In Romans 5, in verse 12, for as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. You know, the first point I gave to you was that the man was dying. It was a common fact. But the reason man has to die, no matter if he's a criminal or if he's wise as Stephen Hawking in terms of scientific facts, or he may just be a hawker downstairs, he will have to die. And the reason man dies is because of sin. It's because of sin. There is no one here in this room can say that he is without sin. Because you know how I know? You may say so, but Brother Johnny, I don't really do anything bad. You know how I know that we have all sinned? Because one day we will all die. The Bible is true. The wages of sin is death. And so this man was dying because of his sin. But number three about this man, as he was dying as a selfish man. He was dying as a selfish man. How do I know that? Look at Luke 23, verse 39. Luke 23, 39 says, and one of the malefactors which were hanged on the cross, railed on him, saying, if you are the Messiah, save thyself. And while you are saving yourself, why don't you save us too? You see, as he was dying, as this thief on the cross was dying, he was concerned only for himself. He was concerned only for himself. In life, this criminal probably lived a selfish life. It was all about himself and the riches that he can gain. In dying, he was still thinking about himself and making use of others to get his own freedom. I was just thinking through, probably he heard this, if everyone is saying he's the Messiah, so I might as well get him to give me some benefit. If you are the Christ, why don't you save yourself and can you set me free too? He was making use of other people for himself. He was selfish. He was selfish. He didn't care who he was. He didn't care. Are you listening? He didn't care that this was the Son of God beside him. May I say this, Romans 3:11, there is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. The Bible says they are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. There is not one person in this room, including myself, before I was a Christian, ever sought for God. I may seek for an understanding of God, I may seek for an image of God, but not seeking for God himself. Now, perhaps some of us may be thinking, but Brother Johnny, I know I'm going to die, but I'm not a criminal, you know. I'm not a criminal. I didn't do anything wrong. But you are going to die, right? And the reason in this life that people die is because of sin. And dear friends, as a dying man to dying people, I'm going to die. And I'm going to die physically is because of my sin. We are going to die, many of us. When we go through life, we live primarily for ourselves because of our selfish nature. Because of our selfish nature. We don't care about the God who made us. Firstly, I want you to notice the first cross was a cross of rejection. The cross of rejection. Let's go to number two cross. Let's look at Luke chapter 23, verse 40. This number two cross, I want to remind us that at the beginning of the crucifixion, when the two criminals and Jesus was crucified, in Matthew 27:44, I'll just read, the thieves also, plural, means two of them, both thieves, which were crucified with him, cast the same in their teeth. That means this thief who was crucified on the left-hand side and this thief who were crucified on the right-hand side, both of them insulted Jesus at the beginning of the crucifixion. And that's an important thing to remember, because in Luke 23:40, the other answering rebuked him, saying, three things about this second cross. Number one, this man was also dying because of his crimes. There is no difference between the two. He was crucified. But something strange happened. There was a change in the mind of this other person. Now, the first thief, the first man on the cross, was only selfish. He was thinking of himself. But the thief on the second cross, beside Jesus, something happened to him in his mind. I believe you can see that. He did something strange. He scolded the other guy. The Bible says, he rebuked him, saying, "Don't you fear God? Don't you fear God?" Perhaps in his inability to breathe, he means, "Dost thou not fear God? Seeing that you and I are in the same, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation." Now, what is he saying? As he was hanging on the cross, the Bible says he rebuked the other person, and then he said, "Dost thou not fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation?" That simply means this thief is saying, "Look, how can you even say that in your pride? You deserve to die just like I do. We deserve to die." This man was dying, but this man had a conviction. Something happened in his heart. He said, "Don't you fear God? Why in the world, as he is being executed for his criminal," suddenly God came to his mind. There was something that happened. He had a conviction. The conviction in Luke 23:41, he said this, "And we indeed justly." You know what that means? He says, "We deserve to die. We deserve this place. We indeed justly. For we receive the due reward for our deeds." You know, it is very interesting, because if you read some of the criminals who has been charged in court, many years ago, my wife and I, in our honeymoon, that was many years ago, in our honeymoon, went to Tasmania. 2 months after we left Tasmania, there was a very tragic killing. There was an armed man who went into a restaurant and opened fire in the restaurant. 31 people died at Port Arthur, Tasmania, 1997 January. This man was arrested and was sentenced to life in prison. In Australia now, there is no death penalty. As the judge gave him the sentence, "You are sentenced for life for your cruel killing of all these people," you know what he did? As the sentence was read out, he did this. He just smiled. He didn't care for the 31 lives who were killed. He didn't care for the 31 lives were killed and their families who were affected. He didn't care that, poor thing, the restaurant owner will probably have to pay for the renovations. He didn't care there were so many people's lives who was destroyed by his one selfish act of doing what he wants to do. Open fire and kill. He didn't care. You know, there are some people who were charged. Their attitude is, "So what?" But not this thief. Are you listening? Not this thief. Something happened to his heart. He, as he was hanging on the cross, he started by criticizing Jesus, but then in the hours that he hung on the cross, something happened to your heart. No situation you go through can ever stop the power of the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Does that make sense? I don't care what tragedy you go through. God has the power and his grace to speak to your heart. This man on the cross, he was hanging. He was going to die. he's dying a tragic death, but something happened in his heart. He actually said in the book of Luke 23, verse 41, we indeed justly. You know what he means? I deserve this. I deserve this. Because we just receive what is due to our deeds. We killed, so we deserve to be killed. This man came to a realization. I deserve to die. Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 4. Listen to the scriptures. Behold, all souls are mine. So the soul of the son, so the soul of the father, so also the soul of the son, so father is mine. And the soul that sinneth, it shall die. It shall die. Believers in Christ, if you are a Christian today, that is repentance. True repentance comes to a believer when you realize that because of your sin, you deserve to be in the lake of fire. This thief had that experience when he was dying. This thief realized in true repentance, I've got to realize I'm a sinner. But you know what? In Luke 23, verse 41, this thief also confessed something. I deserve my place. But this man had done nothing wrong. This man had done nothing amiss. He had done nothing wrong. How in the world did this criminal have that knowledge? The Bible teaches in the book of Matthew chapter 16, only the Son of God is able, only God the Father, sorry, is able to give you this knowledge in your heart. And so at the cross, this second person had a conviction in his heart. In his repentance, he realized the Son of God, the Messiah, was beside him. The Son of God, his Messiah, was beside him. You know, in his repentance, he realized that he has done nothing wrong. He was holy. On the second cross, after he realized he was condemned and deserved to be so, notice the next verse in verse 41. This person said, in Luke chapter 23, he said in verse 42, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. May I say that this man was probably a Jew? Why do I say he was probably a Jew? Because no Gentile has an idea of what the kingdom is. No Gentile have there's no so-called in their writings about the kingdom that is going to be coming. So this person is probably a Jew. But this man was a Jew. Every Jewish child by the age of 12 becomes a son of the law. When he becomes a son of the law, he is responsible under the supervision of his father to make sure he fulfills the son of the law. He knows what he's supposed to memorize the 630 laws of Moses. And so he was supposed to be a religious man. He knows the law. But somewhere along the line, he decided that he was going to walk away. He became a criminal. He became a thief. He was caught. And he was judged, and he was executed at the cross where he is right now. From the beginning of time, he knew, or rather in his own life, this thief on the cross, he probably knew the Old Testament. He probably knew in Deuteronomy chapter 18 that there was going to come a prophet that will be someone who will save them from their sins. He knew the Old Testament, but you know what? He rejected it. He lived his own life. And right now at the cross, he was executed because of his crime. But may I say this? After he left his faith, he became a criminal, and now he's being executed. The mercies of God appeared to him and the time that he was going to die. How do I know that? Because God gave him the privilege of being crucified beside the Son of God. Maybe for the very last time, through the insults of the leaders, of the soldiers, this person, this thief on the cross, finally realized, hey, he's the Messiah that was spoken of. He's the Messiah that was spoken of. And then when he heard all that, everything he learned came back to me. Isn't it true that sometimes when you go through life, you think you have it all? And then suddenly something happens and everything comes back to you. There was a man, he was on death row. He's 27 years old. I shared this before. It was because of drugs in Singapore. It's a death penalty. And after he was arrested for drug-related offenses, he was sentenced to hang. But praise God, in the prison, he trusted Christ. And you know one of the most heartbreaking letters he ever wrote to his family? Apparently he's trusted Christ. He wrote a letter, "Mom, Dad, I'm sorry for breaking your heart. Why is it that sometimes we have to go through the hard times before all the learning that our parents, that the Lord Jesus is trying to tell us, everything comes back to you, which tells us God still loves you. At the very last moment before he died, God was still preaching the gospel through the insults of the people. If you are the Son of God, save thyself. And everything that this person ever learned came back to him. Came back to him. God is gracious. The second cross, first one is the cross of rejection, but the second cross is the cross of repentance. The cross whereby he realized, hey, I deserve to die. I don't deserve anything else but to die because of my sin. But I also know this person beside me, as I'm hearing whatever that's telling me, he must be the Son of God because he's done nothing wrong. He has done nothing wrong. And you know, in his humble faith, he said, "Lord, remember me." Genuine repentance. Are you listening? I know there are many preaching about this. But genuine repentance of a person's heart towards God is when you realize you're on the way to hell. You look at God and say, "God, I thank you for your grace, but I don't deserve heaven. Just remember me." You know, the thief never say, "Oh God, you're such a great God. I want to be." No, he didn't say that. In genuine repentance, in your heart, you say, "Lord, I don't deserve all that you've given to me. And all I'm asking you, Lord," that's faith. That's saying, "God, just remember me when you come in your kingdom. Just remember me when you come in your kingdom." The first cross was a cross of rejection. The second cross was a cross of repentance. And on the second cross, this man was looking at Jesus Christ, which is the third man on the cross, which is the third cross. I'm going to introduce you to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible calls him the sinless Son of God, the sinless Son of God. 1 John chapter 3, verse 5. "And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin." In Jesus Christ is no sin. Contrary to what many people believe, he was a good teacher. He was just like anyone else. No, the Bible says he has no sin. He has no sin. Hebrews 4:15. Listen to the scriptures. "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points like as we are, and yet without sin." The Lord Jesus went through the whole range of human experience that you and I can ever go through. And in every experience, he did not sin. He did not break any of God's commandments. Why? Because he was the sinless Son of God. And because of his sinlessness, Jesus was worthy to bear the sins of humans. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he was betrayed by a man by the name of Judas Iscariot. There are two Judases in Jesus' 12 apostles. So this Judas is Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed Jesus. You know what he did? He betrayed Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, the price of a slave. Why? Because Judas Iscariot was just like this first thief. He was selfish. He was only thinking about himself. He wasn't thinking of the money that goes into his pocket. So Judas Iscariot betrayed Jesus. After the Lord's Supper, Jesus went to Garden Gethsemane to pray. And as he was praying, Judas Iscariot, who went to inform the Pharisees, who went to get the police, the Roman soldiers, came to Gethsemane with torches to arrest Jesus. Jesus was arrested. He was brought to the high priest, Caiaphas. And as he was in the middle of the night, he was brought from Caiaphas. In the morning, they went to Pontius Pilate. Pontius Pilate was a Roman governor, one of the most cruel governors in the history of the Roman Empire. He was personally responsible for thousands of crucifixions. He was regarded as the most merciless man. That once you come before him, you will shudder. Kind of like our Chief Justice last time. Last time, remember Chief Justice Chan in Singapore? If you appeal, if you get convicted in Singapore, you appear before this justice. No, it's not Lo Pang Hao, sorry, it's a different one. You know what? Generally, either your appeal is overturned and they increase your sentencing. That's our Chief Justice last time. All right? And so under Pontius Pilate, Jesus was brought there. The first thing in John chapter 18, you don't have to turn there, but in the story, as they brought Jesus to Pontius Pilate, do you know what Pontius Pilate told him? What accusation bring ye against this man? All right? You want me to kill? You want me to bring him to sentence him to death? What accusation do you bring against this man? You know what was the reply of the Pharisees? If he wasn't guilty of anything, we wouldn't have brought him here. But Pontius Pilate was very sharp. He knew there was something going on there. You see, the Pharisees could not answer him. But you know why the Pharisees didn't like Jesus? Because Jesus was a big obstacle to their life plans. You know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they were only interested in riches and reputation. And they did things, corrupt things, to get the money, to get the reputation. Well, when Jesus came, Jesus exposed them, number one. Number two, he preached humility, love, and truth before God. The Pharisees hated that. Why? Because they were turning all the humble people away from themselves for reputation and the riches, and were turning to Jesus Christ. And you know, in the hatred of their hearts, the Pharisee says, he must die. He must die. We in our hearts may not reject Jesus, but many people, when you hear about Jesus, you know what they say? I don't want any part of him. For whatever reasons, you don't want any part of him, without even hearing what Jesus has done for them. And so the Pharisees know that this guy has got to die. But you know what? But Pilate couldn't really find any real reason to kill him. So you know what he did? He came up with a plan. Tell you what, I'm going to let him be scourged. And maybe when the Pharisees see and the Jewish people see, oh, poor thing, you know, sometimes the sympathy will be aroused and say, all right, then, well, tell you what, the people will just say, I'll let him go. So in John chapter 19 and verse 1, the Pilate said, and Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. Scourged him. It's different from a spanking. During the Roman times, when they actually scourge a person, they usually take off the clothes of the criminal, number one. Number two, in certain practices under the Roman Empire, they would tie the hand of the person and stretch his hand out. And then they would, pull using a pulley, the body will go out, and they would tie a leather strap at the ankles with a heavy stone so that they would stretch the body until the skin is absolutely tight. So in an outstretched position, the Roman soldier will take what is called a cat of nine tails. Christians, if this is a reminder of what Jesus has done for you, I pray Holy Spirit will work that. You will take a cat of nine tails, a rod with nine pieces of leather. At the end of the leather, there is a stone and then a sheep bone or a hook of some sort. And the skill of the Roman soldiers were so skillful that when Jesus was hanging there, and there were two Roman soldiers who will whip the body. And once they whip the body, they will wrap the leather around the body, and the moment the hook bites into the skin, the skill of the Roman soldier will pull the thing away and basically tearing the human flesh. In Roman Empire, the scourging is often known as near death. Because by the time the Roman soldiers were finished with the criminal, they will be so not just exhausted, they will be almost dead. The skin will be falling off. The body, you can see the muscles, the blood will be oozing out. It is a practice of the Roman people, the soldiers, to whip the person as many as 150 times. For those who are good in maths, 150 times 9 equals to how many stripes? 1,000? 300? And 50 times. The Roman soldiers basically whipped Jesus according. That amount of whipping the Lord Jesus had. And so after they whipped him, you know, in John chapter 19, verse 2, they plaited the crown of thorns. a crown of thorns, and they put it on Jesus' head. And the Bible said, the soldiers would say, "Hail, King of the Jews," and they weren't respecting him. They were insulting him. But then you're the king, right? Okay, "Hail, King of the Jews." And the Bible says, as a thorn was on his head, they would take a stick and they would whack the crown, jamming those thorns into his head. What happens, children, when the thorns goes into your head? The thorns were about this length. What happens? What happens, children, when you have something sharp going to your skin? What comes out? Blood. Blood. The Lord Jesus Christ was whipped as he was crowned with their thorns. Pontius Pilate brought him up and said, "Behold the man. This is the one you want to crucify." You know what he was hoping? That the people will kind of say, "Well, I think we have enough of him." You know, sometimes when a person goes through so much suffering, you say, okay, the compassion of our hearts will come out and say, let him go. Not the Jews. The Jews didn't care. The Jews did not care. And so Pilate was stuck. He came up with plan B. You know what's his plan B? At the feast day, the Jews can release, or rather the authorities can actually release a criminal. So there was a man by the name of Barabbas. And so Pontius Pilate brought Barabbas out. He said, "All right, this is a criminal. He deserves to die. Barabbas, this is Jesus. He deserves to die. You choose. I can release one." You know what the people chose? They would have chosen, right, as a Jews. You know what the Jews did? 1 week before this day, the Jews said, "Hail him." You would have thought that the Jews in their proper mind would receive Jesus, but not that day. When Pontius Pilate gave them the choice, he said, "Release unto us Barabbas. We want him." Pontius Pilate was saying, "What am I supposed to do with him?" You know what they say? "Crucify him! Crucify him! Away with him!" The whole crowd was shouting, "Away with him! Away with him! We don't want this man! Give us Barabbas!" "Are you sure? But what have this man done?" Pontius Pilate continuously pleaded. "What have this man..." More than five times, Pontius Pilate said, "This man has done nothing amiss. This man has done nothing wrong. Why do you want to kill him? Release to us Barabbas." There was no reason given except one reason in the Bible: for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him, Christ, the iniquity of us all. And at time, Pontius Pilate said, "All right, since you guys want Jesus, all right, Barabbas, it was nice to know you. Go." Of course, Barabbas was happy and all that, but Jesus Christ, the Bible says, they led him up to be crucified. As Jesus was walking the Via Dolorosa, Sister Isabella will probably have seen this, it was a place from Pilate's hall to the cross. Via Dolorosa is kind of a marked out route that today they have is the way of suffering. The Lord Jesus didn't walk normally. Why? Night before, he did not eat. He had the Last Supper. I don't know whether he had the heart to eat. From the time that he was betrayed to the time up till now, no one gave him any drink except vinegar, which was at the cross later. He was whipped 150 times, probably to the point of physical fatigue. And he was abandoned by his closest friends. Everyone can bear the physical torment of pain, but when your friends leave you, the pain is in his heart. But you know what? I praise God that our Lord Jesus Christ was more focused on the will of the Father than the applause of men or the companionship of men. And so as Lord Jesus staggered, contrary to Roman Catholic tradition, Jesus did not go through the 14 stations of the cross. It is often said that Jesus carried the cross to Calvary. No, he couldn't. He was too weak. The cross itself weighs about 200 kilograms. 200 kilograms. Virtually impossible for anyone to carry the cross. What they usually did was get the people to carry the cross piece. And as the Lord Jesus Christ carried the cross piece, he couldn't do it. And the Bible said, Simon, they found a man of Cyrene. Simon, the father of Alexander Rufus, him they compelled to bear the cross. And as the man was standing there, he said, "You," as Jesus fell, "you, take up the cross." And I don't know about you, I would give anything for the privilege of carrying the cross.
cross.
And so Simon carried a cross for Jesus, and Jesus staggered. You know what they did as he was walking? They didn't say poor thing. The Bible said they plucked off the beard from off his face. They spit on him. You save others? You can't even save yourself. As Lord Jesus staggered over there, they placed the cross piece, laid the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. They took nails, Roman nails, 5 to 7 inches in length, oftentimes rusty from reuse and recycling. And the nails punched through here. Not here, as many of the pictures show you. Here, when you put the nails through here, it would have ripped the body of the weight of the body would rip through. But they were put here because there are 8 carpal bones. In human biology, you know there are 8 bones. And so they punch it through here. The skill of the soldiers knows exactly where to find the opening. And they wham, the nail through here. So that the 8 bones will convulse and bite and hold the body in place. And the Roman soldiers, as they erected the person onto the cross, they would put ropes around just to make sure the body doesn't fall. As the Lord Jesus Christ was hanging on the cross, the people continued to say, "You're the Son of God. Why don't you save yourself? Why don't you save yourself?" In the midst of the cruelty of the Roman soldiers, in the midst of the abandonment by the disciples, in the time when no one else stood with the Lord Jesus Christ, in the time where he was so pain and there was so much pain that the Lord Jesus Christ went through, in the midst of the entire situation of absolute human cruelty, the precious love of the Lord Jesus Christ showed through. When he said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do." The Roman soldiers didn't care. The disciples were nearby, but couldn't do anything. Anyway, they abandoned Jesus when he needed them most. Judas Iscariot didn't care. He's probably hanging himself by now. No one cared about Jesus, but in the midst of the immense cruelty to the Son of God, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them." It is absolutely impossible in the human flesh to forgive anyone. 2 reasons. Number 1, if anyone did such harm to you, you will never, never forgive that person. But number 2, the Roman soldiers were incapable of understanding what they were doing, just doing their job. But you know what the Lord Jesus Christ saw? These Roman soldiers killed him to their destruction. Think about that. The Roman soldiers were crucifying the Son of God. But the Son of God, in his heart and his mind, were thinking, "You guys are on your way to hell." And the love of Christ overwhelmed him that even the pain didn't matter to Jesus anymore. And he pleaded with the Father, perhaps in this manner, "Father, forgive them, because they really don't know what they're doing." Every time you sin against God, every time you will disobey your parents, you often think that you are right in the mind of God. You don't know what you're doing. Every believer in Christ who can sin against God and think he can get away with it need to remember what Jesus did at the cross for you. It is my firm belief. You know, I was searching through scripture. You know why this man actually repented? Remember I told you that initially, in Matthew chapter 27, verse 44, he was criticizing the Lord Jesus Christ. And all 3 of them were raised, I believe with all my heart, it was because this man heard Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That the change in that mind came through. He's the Son of God. He just called the Father and he just asked the Father to forgive these people who crucified him. And all the thinking about we deserve to die, but he didn't do anything wrong. And I believe with all my heart, the love of Christ at the cross shone through to this man. That at the very last moment, the Lord Jesus was still reaching out to his soul. And through his words, "Father, forgive them," reached this person's heart. Which caused this person to say, "Lord, remember me. I deserve to die. The things that I have done, I deserve to die. But you didn't do anything wrong. Lord, just remember me when you come into your kingdom." There were three crosses that day. The cross of rejection. The man was sinful. He was dying. He was selfish. He rejected the Messiah. Then there was the cross of repentance. The man was dying, but he realized his sin. He chose to repent. He humbly admitted his sin and asked only to be remembered. Then the most wonderful words. You know, when this man said, "Lord, remember me." Children, I want you to pay attention. When this man said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom," the most wonderful, amazing words that have ever been uttered by any man said, "Today, you will be with me in paradise." The skeptics will say, wait, that's not fair. That's not fair. I mean, he killed people, he robbed people. How come the Lord Jesus Christ was able to invite him into heaven? You know why? Because Jesus Christ paid for his sin. He paid for his sin. You and I can never pay for our sin. No matter how much money you give to the church, no matter how much money you give your temple, no matter how good deeds you ever do, your good deeds, physical good deeds can never cancel a spiritual problem. And we all have a spiritual problem, and that's rebellion against God because we refuse to receive him. John chapter 3 and verse 36, "He that believeth on the Son had everlasting life, that he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." In John 3:36, the most wonderful word said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." You see, the entry into heaven is not by our good works. For this thief is a criminal. He had no good works. There was nothing that he could ever say or do to warrant entry into heaven. The entry into heaven is not by coming to church and being a good man. For this man was on the cross. He did not have any chance to be baptized. He didn't have any chance to give money to the church. He didn't have any chance to do any of the good works. The Bible says, Titus chapter 3 and verse 5, "Listen to the scriptures, for it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. By the regeneration of the Holy Spirit and the renewing of his love in our hearts." Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, "For by grace are ye saved through faith." It is not by yourself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You know how you get to heaven to have your sins forgiven? It's by repentance. It's when you come up to a time in your life and say, like this man, "I deserve to die. I deserve all that God would judge me with." But then you look at the sinless Son of God who died beside him and say, "Lord, thank you. Just remember me. I put faith 100% in what you have done." In John 3:16, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Hebrews 2:9. The Lord Jesus Christ tasted death for all of us. Physical death and eternal separation from God. Spiritual death. At 3 p.m., the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." 3 p.m. that day he died. But that's not the end of the story. You need to come on Sunday to see the second part, okay? But I'll tell you right now, Jesus rose from the dead the third day. Amen, Christians? We serve a living Savior today. Jesus didn't just die on a cross. You know why it's good for us? It's good. It's a good Friday because you and I have the hope of eternal life. You and I are able to see heaven again because of what Jesus... Jesus have done. All our sins have been wiped clean. If you have put faith, you have turned away from your sin. You have turned away from the world. You have turned away from everything that crucified. You see, the world and its riches crucified Jesus to the cross. Jesus rejected all of them, but he went to the cross to show his love for people who did not deserve. Are you listening? Grace is when we understand we don't ever deserve anything that God gives us, and yet he still gave to us. And then when we receive that, we receive with humility, saying, Lord, we don't deserve anything that you have. And then say, Lord, thank you for saving me. I give my life to you to serve you and do what you tell me to do. That's not lordship salvation. That's grace. There's a time when in your heart has been broken by your sin, and you know what Jesus has done. And you say, Lord, I put my faith in you. And then, Lord, what would thou have me to do? Lord, I'm not following you because I have to. I follow you because I want to, because of what you have done for me at the cross. There were three crosses that day. Firstly, it was a cross of rejection. And then it was a cross of repentance. The Lord Jesus was a cross of reconciliation. He wants to bring us back to God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 19, to wit, knowing this, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. If you ever see the love of God, you don't have to look anywhere else except the cross. The cross is the greatest demonstration of two things. One, the absolute hatred of God against sin, that he, because he cannot punish us and save us, chose to bring a replacement. And God struck his own son because of you and me. Oh, Christians, don't you ever forget the cross. Don't you ever, in your priorities, forget the cross. Because, you know, when Jesus died on the cross, he made you and I, think about that, his priority. Because if he did not die, we will die. And the Bible made it clear, the Lord Jesus Christ, it was for me that he died. To wit, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Through our sin, we are lost and on our way to an eternity without God and in sin. But through Christ, when we realize our sin and the coming judgment of God, we can put our faith on him. As we close, are you on the cross of rejection today? Then you say, Brother Johnny, I know all religions teach good. Only one religion can assure you to go to heaven. And by the way, Christianity is not a religion. It is a faith and a relationship with Jesus Christ on a daily basis. But yet some of us may say, Brother Johnny, I've heard this before. Doesn't matter to me. I cannot force you. But you know what? I'll tell you that you will be on this cross of rejecting God. The one who made you. The one who loved you. The one even at the age that you're in. Or even when you're young, God is still pouring out his love and say, would you accept me as your Savior? Firstly, it's the cross of rejection. Number two is the cross of repentance. This man also deserved to die. But the Lord Jesus Christ, through his conversation with God, because it was very near to them, this person must have heard, Father, forgive them. And you know, when Jesus says, Father, forgive them, do you know what that is? That's a blank check. For anyone who would say, that's mine. The thief here heard that too. And he says, not me. This particular man heard it. That's me. I need the forgiveness of God. And the Bible says, that day, today, ye shall be with me in paradise. The Bible says in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, absent in the body, present with the Lord. I don't know about you. But when I die, I want to die preaching the gospel. And I know the next moment I open my eyes, I will be in the presence of my Savior. Not because of the good things I've done. My wife knows all the bad things I've done. And she's still faithful to me. I'm thankful for that. But you know what? The things I've done, I'm not proud. But you know what? The things I've ever done, I thank God. As far as the east is from the west, as far as the heavens is high and near, God has removed the sin and at the cross have judged it once and for all and washed away my sin. And you know, when I stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, all he can say is, well done. He's not going to bring up my sin. Because you know why? One day, June 1981, someone came to my door, shared with me the gospel. And that day I realized I'm in the same condemnation. And I gave my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not a pastor because I have to. I'm a pastor because I love Jesus. And because of all He has done for me. I'm probably older than many of you. Young people, are you listening? You think that by living your life in this world, you have everything that you have. One day when you stand before God, I was talking to my father-in-law on the way back. Those people who are rich, you know how they die? They will bring nothing out of this world. So everything you try to grab in this world, you have to let go when your hands get light. Cross of rejection. Would you be on the cross of repentance today? The Lord Jesus was on the cross of reconciliation. His job, the Bible says, was completed when He says, "It is finished." He is washed clean. Every stain of sin in our lives, when we come by faith, the blood of Jesus Christ, of the eternal Son of God, can wash sins that are past, sins that are present, and sins that are future. And every one of our sins are washed clean. As I close, Christians, as you hear this, what is your response? No one can see the cross and understand for His fullest impact that the Holy Spirit will make on your life and ever be the same person again. In John chapter 3, there was a man by the name of Nicodemus. Nicodemus was very afraid of what people will say. He was a Pharisee. He came by night because he didn't want to lose his reputation among the religious leaders. But when Jesus said, "Ye must be born again, you must be born again," faith started to well up in his heart. In John chapter 6 or John chapter 7, as a Sanhedrin, the Jewish council said Jesus must die. Nicodemus, in opposition to the entire Sanhedrin, said, "Will you condemn a man before you even judged him?" And he was trying to defend Jesus. The entire council went against him and said, "Are you also a believer?" But you know what? When Jesus Christ died, Nicodemus was one of the first men that prepared the burial spices for Jesus, costing literally thousands of Singapore dollars. Why? Simply because of one. He recognized Jesus to be his Savior. And perhaps in his mind, he may be thinking, "Look, I have been a secret agent Christian all along. Finally, I saw my Savior die for me. I'm not going to care what people say about me anymore. Pilate, I need to bury my Savior." And he went public with his salvation. He bought the spices and he buried Jesus. What are you going to do for the Lord Jesus after recognizing what He's done for you, Christians? Is your life really that important? You know, I heard something on Faith Bible Institute which challenged my heart. We don't have to live, but we do have to follow God. We follow Him because we love Him. And I'm asking you, Christian, to rethink your relationship with Christ. Are the ambitions in this life so important that you can never put Christ and His work and His work and His will a priority in your life? When Jesus gave His life to make you and I His priority. If you are here, you're not a Christian, may I say this? The fact that you are still alive today tells me one thing. God is still reaching out to you. You know, Brother Johnny, I've been too long, you know, believing in my own stuff. Look, hey, if God gave you a remedy and a solution for your problems, wouldn't you want it? And God gave the best solution anyone in this world can ever give, and the solution for your sin, to cleanse it away so that you will realize someone loves you too much, so much, that He was willing to die for you. Young people, you have your entire life before you. your entire life before you. Oh yeah, you have your education, you have the things that you want to live for, you want to have your whatever certificates and all that. But may I remind you, death is no respecter of persons. If you walk through the cemeteries of today, you will see one at 95 years old. You will see the tombstone having another with 80 years old, and another with 60 years old, another with 50 years old, and you will probably occasionally see some who may be one day old. Death is no respecter of persons. The fact that we are still alive today tells me that God is still reaching out to you. Would you come to the cross of reconciliation? Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we pray, I'm asking you, Lord, to take this word and impress it on the life of these people. Father, I pray. I thank you so much, Father. I've just tried to share with the people what you did that day, Lord. Lord, I know that I'm not adequate to even tell the good news, but yet you commanded us to tell the world what Jesus has done. And so I did that, Father. I pray that you will touch the hearts of these dear people. Speaking to believers first, with eyes closed, heads bowed, if you're a Christian today, has the Lord touched your heart in some way? And I'm just praying that it won't just be a time of Good Friday that we once again rededicate ourselves, and yet the rest of our days in the year we don't do anything for God. But you know what? I believe God is still speaking to us as Christians. If there's someone who said, Pastor Johnny, pray for me. I need to give up that sin, man. After all that Jesus has done, I cannot just live my life the way I want to live. I want to search His will. I want to do what is right. But I'm so weak. You know, may I encourage you, the thief on the cross could do nothing but put faith in Jesus Christ. If you are a Christian, the same way we got saved by His grace is going to be the same way we live this life by His grace. Is there someone here who will say, Pastor, pray for me. I know I've got to let go of that hatred. I know I've got to let go of the sin. I know I've got to let go of the things that I love in this world. I know because of what Jesus has done. Is there someone who will say, Pastor, pray for me that God will do that with me? Amen. I see those two hands. Anyone else? Amen. I see that hand too. Just put it up and put it down. Amen. I see that hand too. Is there someone else? Is there someone else? Amen. I see that hand too. Is there someone else? Amen. I see that hand. Is there someone else? All right, I'm going to give you a challenge today. Your eyes closed and head still bowed. Afterwards, during the invitation, as the song is being sung, those who have put up your hand, I want you to just walk out yourself and just pray and do that business with God. If you're a Christian and you know that God is doing something, I know, Brother Johnny, you have not done this before, but you know what? No point just showing me. You need to show God and the courage of stepping out and say, Lord, by faith, help me. Is there someone here, you are not a Christian and you are on the cross of rejection, but after hearing what Jesus has done based on God's word, say, Brother Johnny, did Jesus really die for me? The answer is yes. He died for you. You didn't have to suffer eternal punishment. But he said, Brother Johnny, pray for me. If you are here today, and in your heart you know that there's this desire in your heart to know more about this Jesus who loved you. No one is looking around. Can I encourage you just to slip up your hand? I'll just pray for you. And I'm going to get someone, a brother or sister, to share with you the word. Is there someone like that? It doesn't matter whether you're young, you're old. Just put up your right hand. I'll pray for you and I'll get someone to share. Your brother with brother, sister with sister. Is there someone like that? Brother Johnny, I don't know. I'm on the cross of rejection. I'm dying. I'm dying because of my sin. But if Jesus Christ loved me, I want Him. Is there someone like that? Just put up your right hand. I'll pray for you. I'll get someone to share with you the word. Is there someone? Whether in the Chinese as well, is there someone? All right? But Father, you have done your work, I believe. But I know that your work continues to go on. Father, thank you for allowing me to preach your word. Father, I'm asking you to challenge every Christian's heart with the cross. This world
will growingly, increasingly hate the cross. But Lord, this is the very thing that as believers we need to cling on to. Father, as we'll be singing, the old rugged cross, I pray that your Holy Spirit will impress on every Christian to give up that sin, to give up the world, to give up the things that you are asking them to do so, and return to you with all their hearts, Lord. Father, thank you for what you have done for us. Thank you for making us your priority at the cross, Lord. Otherwise, none of us will ever find Christ. But Lord, help us to make you also, by an act of our will, depending on your Holy Spirit and grace, to make you our priority too, and we will do that. Lord, thank you for what you do, as some of the brethren have indicated by the putting of their hands. I pray as we sing the old rugged cross, we give them the courage, Lord, to come out and pray and do their and speak to you, Father, as a public testimony of what you have done in their lives. We thank you, we pray in Jesus' name.